Alyssa Walker Campbell is on the air.
Asking the questions you want to know.
With sports' biggest and best names. Chicago Bulls game analyst Stacey King.
The one thing about this team is that they're resolved. I mean, they continue to fight through injuries. We have guys on the bench that are stepping up. Our depth has been one of the reasons why we're one of the better teams in the NBA.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, the 2013 NBA Finals are underway with the Spurs and the Heat, and there are a number of key matchups in this series that we are going to be paying very close attention to. We have invited on our program a gentleman who knows exactly what it takes to win an NBA World Championship. In fact, he won three consecutive ones with his Chicago Bulls from 91 to 93, and of course, played with the great Michael Jordan. It is always such a pleasure to welcome in our favorite Sooner, who has gone on to have a very successful career in broadcasting, Stacey Ronald King. How are you, Stacey?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, Stace. Well, listen, I know this is perhaps your favorite time of the year, but to be honest, I know it's tough not having the Bulls in action. But as an NBA fan, I know there has to be a sincere appreciation for these two teams as we're going to witness some of the best talent the league has to offer.
Well, San Antonio has been one of the most consistent franchises in the NBA over the last 10 years. They do a great job, not only in the front office, but, you know, putting their team together, their coaching staff. You know, they're a model for all the teams. You know, their executives are going from San Antonio to different teams. Coaches are going from Greg Popovich's staff to becoming head coaches. So they do it the right way. They've been doing it consistent for years. Miami's the defending world champions. You know, they had some grueling series. They had a grueling series against us in the second round. They had a grueling series against the Pacers. But, you know, that's the sign of a champion. They're able to fight through adversity and, you know, win games when they need to win them.
Of course, this series features two of the greatest players in NBA history. We're talking about LeBron, Tim Duncan. It'll be fascinating. Their legacies will be on the line. And it is interesting as you dissect this, you break it down. The Spurs are back in the finals for the first time in 6 years. And as you're just talking about, you know, LeBron, his goal is to join the select few who have won back-to-back titles. I mentioned in the open, you won three consecutive titles. Who do you see prevailing in this particular series?
Well, it's going to be a good series. I think if you look at the, you know, the San Antonio Spurs, you know, this is not a team that's physical. This is a team that's built around team basketball, sharing the basketball, the movement of the basketball to get the best available shot. You know, Manu Ginobili, if he plays the way he's capable of playing, Tony Parker right now is playing at a different level. You know, he's arguably the best point guard in the league just throughout the playoff series, but. And Tim Duncan. And, you know, they have a system, and it's worked. They don't deviate from that system. But then there's a different animal in that Miami Heat team. You know, they've had two really grueling physical series with the Chicago Bulls and the Indiana Pacers. This is going to be a series where it's going to be finesse, and this is where they like to play. I think you're going to see this team explode for a lot of points because San Antonio is not as physical presence as these other teams that the Heat have played. So, I think you're going to see more up-and-down game. I think Tony Parker wants to play that style of play. I think Ginobili wants to play that style of play. And the Miami Heat definitely want to play that style of play. So I would give the edge experience to San Antonio because they've been there four times and they're going for the fifth and they haven't lost in the finals. But at the end of the day, you've got Miami with home court advantage, and that plays a big part in these playoffs.
Stacey, you rattle off a lot of the names with the San Antonio Spurs, Tony Parker, Tim Duncan, but it all starts at the top with Greg Popovich. And I know with the Chicago Bulls, they've got Tom Thibodeau, one of the premier coaches in the league. But everywhere you go, it just seems like everyone's tipping their hat to Coach Popovich and that perhaps he is the premier coach.
Yeah, I mean, he arguably is the best coach in the league. I mean, he understands his team. He brings an element to the team that, you know, they always say, you know, coaches can win about, you know, 8 to 10 games for you a season. I'd have to disagree with that. I think a guy like Popovich can win you 20 or more with his coaching ability and his coaching style. You know, he knows when to rest his players. You know, early in the season, he's not trying to win the best record of the league. He's not trying to win a championship during the regular season. He understands that the most important part is to make sure you have your players healthy at the end of the season. And so he rests his players. He gives his players day off. I think Tim Duncan has been rejuvenated. Here he is. He makes All-NBA this year at 37 years old, and he looks like he's about 25. Tony Parker's fresh. So you got to tip your hat to what Greg Popovich has done. He is the premier coach in the NBA.
Tim Duncan, of course, has won four titles throughout his career. I really believe this is his last chance to make it five. Stacey, you've been around him. You've played against him. I mean, what has Tim Duncan meant to the game?
Well, I mean, he's arguably the premier power forward in our time. You know, I mean, Karl Malone is probably going to go down as arguably the best power forward. But I think when Tim Duncan is finally done and he retires, I think he will be the best power forward to ever play the game because, you know, he's played at a consistent level his whole career. He's going to possibly win five championships. So you can't argue with that. I mean, if you look at Malone, he might have better numbers, you know, points and rebounds. But Duncan is not too far behind. But then you throw in four championships and maybe a fifth in a small market team like San Antonio. They've been able to do it consistently. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Arguably will be the best power forward in the game.
17-10 guy. He's played in the league for 16 years. Stacey, I mean, when he came out of Wake Forest, did you anticipate that he would have had this kind of longevity and the level of success that he has achieved?
Yeah, just because his game dictates that. He's real easygoing. You know, he doesn't, you know, he's not one of these guys that, you know, he's in a hurry. You know, you can tell that he's a student of the game. He really studies the game, and he's had the luxury, you know, coming in from Wake Forest. Normally when you're the number one pick, you go to a team that really needs you to play right away. He was able to come to a Spurs team that had David Robinson, which took a lot of pressure off of him. You had Sean Elliott there. You had Avery Johnson. So you had a good veteran group of guys there that would take the pressure off him. So he was able to basically stay in the shadows and develop. You had Popovich there who, you know, taught him the game, taught him how to prepare. He's a very cerebral type of player. And so when you have those kind of qualities, you know, the game comes easy for you.
You know, it's interesting when you dissect and you look at Tim Duncan's career, the level of success that he has had. I think back to Wake Forest. I mean, he played a full 4 years there and really polished his game, got that maturity. I mean, Stacey, you played 4 years, a full 4 years at Oklahoma. We don't see, you know, all the athletes necessarily doing that now. How important is that to stay in college as long as you can so that you can mature and grow?
I think it's very, very important. I think it's a loss. You know, it's a lost art. I think, you know, you get caught up with, you know, the LeBron James of the world, Kobe Bryant that only, you know, came straight out of high school that had immediate success. But there's a lot more guys who don't, you know, get that kind of success coming out after 1 year. You know, it's not just about life. You know, learning how to make decisions. Your maturity, you know, so the longer you stay in the school, because a lot of times these guys come out, you know, of college, I mean, out of high school, and they're sitting on the bench. If they come out of college in 1 year, they're not playing the first 2 or 3 years. So you might as well have stayed in college and get that experience. And so when you come out as a senior, you're ready to go from day one when you enter the NBA.
Stacey King is with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We know him well, the Chicago Bulls game analyst, has done an outstanding job there. And we're just talking about Timmy Duncan. Of course, Tim, 37 years old. He has proven, Stacey, and I know you'll agree with this, that he's as efficient as he was a decade ago. I had a chance to talk to the Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle in the month of January and have a sit-down interview with him. And he said that he's brought to the game a level of energy that we have really not seen over the last couple of years. So he's been very committed, and he wants to finish very, very strong. As we look at this series, though, Stace, between Miami and the Spurs, what are the biggest defensive keys for Miami? Because they are going to be facing a high volume of pick and rolls, won't they?
Well, yeah, they're going to face a lot of pick and rolls. But one of the things they're very good at is pick and roll defense. They are so quick. They're so athletic. This is a series that they're licking their chops because they're much more athletic than the Spurs. You know, if they're going to win this game, you know, this is not a series that they have to worry about getting pounded on the glass like they did against Indiana and Chicago. You know, the Spurs are not a physical team. You know, they're more of a finesse-oriented team. So the series kind of favors Miami as far as the way the style of play is going to be. But with that said, you know, you've got one of the best pick-and-roll guards in the league with Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. They do a great job of really engaging the pick-and-roll and forcing you to have to make quick decisions because a lot of times, you know, you get jumped on that pick-and-roll by Miami and the guard gets flustered. He doesn't know where the second or third option is because Miami's already rotated. And so you, a very good point guard like Tony Parker, who sees all kind of traps, he sees double teams, triple teams, he understands where the ball needs to go. So he's not going to take an extra dribble. He's going to get the ball out of his hand and let someone else make a play to get an easier basket. And that's, that's what's going to be really interesting to see in this series tonight.
Stacey, you're absolutely right. It all starts with Tony Parker and his ability to break you down in transition. Well, let's transition right now. Let's talk about your Chicago Bulls. It was a disappointing finish. I mean, we thought that perhaps that you guys even could have been in the finals. What kind of things are taking place in Chicago, and what do you anticipate this offseason will be like?
Well, I mean, it was an up-and-down season, but, you know, we finished strong. I mean, you know, we had a lot of injuries this year. This is the third year in a row where we kind of hobbled into the playoffs, and I think, you know, at the end of the day, that has to be addressed. You know, I don't know what the situation is that, you know, if they're going to have to start cutting guys' minutes so they're fresher at the end of the year, but this is our third straight year where we've lost key players going into the playoffs, where you're going into the playoffs feeling good about yourself. So, with the way we played against Miami, no one thought we'd get past Brooklyn. You know, we went a 7-game on the road, which is, you know, a test to this team's character and desire to win. We go into Miami, we win game one. And then, you know, on talent, you know, you're not going to beat a team like Miami playing your second and third team, you know, players. You know, we're basically going to a gunfight with a knife. But they battled, they played hard, they competed. They gave Miami everything they could handle in that series. And so they can walk away with their head up high. So now the offseason, you know, it's going to be a different team. You're going to get Derrick Rose back next year. You know, Luol Deng will be healthy. Kirk Heinrich will be healthy. So you're going to get a really big boost in talent, especially with Derrick Rose, because he's arguably one of the best players in the league. So that's like, you know, instead of just getting a regular player back, you're getting a superstar player back. So that's going to make the team better. Their core group of guys are going to be good. You know, Jimmy Butler has developed into a very, very nice player. You know, he really, really grew this year in his second year. You know, so hopefully he'll be able to take that next step next year. And they're going to have to revamp the bench a little bit. I don't know if they're going to be able to bring, you know, Rip Hamilton back, or, you know, they're deciding on Marco Bellinelli right now. Nate Robinson could probably play himself into a big contract with the way he's played this season. It's going to be really tough to bring some of those guys back, especially with the Bulls tinkering around the luxury tax level.
Well, of course, the big buzz is that with Derrick Rose's return, that he will help make Chicago a title threat for next year. What about, we didn't mention Nazi Muhammad. I mean, he perhaps earned another contract. He had some improved play this year, and I thought he was terrific in the Miami series.
Yeah, he did a very good job when he was able to play. And you know, the thing about, you know, Nazi, he's a veteran. You know, he knows how to play. He's been in,
true,
he's been a lot of games. You know, he understands, you know, what his role is on a team. I'd like to see him come back, you know, but again, it's all going to be based on, you know, how much money they have to spend on free agents. You know, what are the priorities? You know, what guys is priority? And I think right now, you know, if you're looking at the free agents on the team, you got Rip Hamilton. I think they're going to, you know, buy him out. I think, you know, when you look at Bellinelli and Nate Robinson, you know, if you bring Nate Robinson back, you have 4-point guards. You can't have four-point guards on your team. And as much as I love Nate, I would love to see him back, but you can't bring 4-point guards because you'll have, you know, Derrick Rose, Kirk Heinrich, Nate Robinson, and then you have the rookie Marcus Teague, who will be in his second year. So that's 4-point guards. We don't have depth at the two-guard spot. So I think priority is Marco Bellinelli, unless they can make a deal draft day to try to swing and get somebody, whether it be in the draft or trade at draft time.
We are quickly running out of time with Stacey King, Chicago Bulls game analyst. He's doing an outstanding job breaking it all down. And one of the big headlines that hit late in the week, of course, George Karl out in Denver. You're talking about the NBA Coach of the Year. He will not be returning to the Denver Nuggets next season. I find this absolutely stunning.
It is stunning because he is one of the best coaches in the league. And he's done a great job with that Denver Nuggets team. They've had a lot. They've had a facelift. You know, they got rid of Carmelo Anthony. They were able to get some pieces back from that trade. You know, they were tinkering, or, I mean, you know, had Gallinari not gotten hurt with that ACL injury, I really think Denver would have made some noise in the playoffs. They really missed him when the playoff series started. They just didn't have that big-time score that they needed. But George Karl has always been, you know, one of the best coaches. This is a guy that gets you 50 wins every year. Doesn't matter which team he's on, he's going to get you 50 wins. So any team out there looking for a great coach, you know, the Clippers in mind. As you put George Karl on that team, you know, with that team, with those athletes and that point guard and Chris Paul, you know, you're looking at the Clippers right now possibly being the favorite to come out of the Western Conference if they're able to get George Karl, because I know they're looking at Lionel Hollins, you know, but if I got to make a choice, I'm the GM and I'm the coach and George Karl is available and all these other guys are available,
yeah,
I'm going after George Karl.
Stacey King has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. My final question for you is, just want you to kind of share your thoughts. Mookie Blaylock in that horrible car accident. Of course, he was your teammate at the University of Oklahoma. You guys played in that national championship against KU. What do you know? Have you talked to Mookie?
No one's been able to talk to him, but, you know, I've talked to his family members that are close to him, and, I mean, it was really devastating to me, especially
yes.
the first day when he was on life support, and they didn't really know if he was going to pull through.
Mm.
You know, I just spent time with Mookie in August. We do our, you know, our annual reunion where all the guys come back every summer, and that was the first time he's been back to Oklahoma in a long time, first time I've seen him since we played in the NBA, so it was really
yeah.
good to see him, and we reconnected. I talk to him when I come to Georgia, when I come to Atlanta, but, you know, to have him, you know, a friend like that that you're close with almost die, and, you know, I mean, it really makes you think that life's so precious, and you have to, you know, you have to enjoy each and every day to the fullest, because no one is promised tomorrow. It doesn't matter how much money you have or, you know, how super you think you may be. No one's promised tomorrow, so, you know, you have to learn how to not take things for granted and enjoy every single day, every minute.
And, of course, Stacey, your home state just being devastated, Oklahoma, with all of those tornadoes. I hope your family is okay out there, too.
Yeah, all my family's okay. You know,
okay, good.
And, you know, Oklahoma, the one thing about Oklahoma people, man, they're strong. They're resilient.
They are.
They're used to seeing this. You know, maybe not to this magnitude, but they're used to devastation. They, you know, they'll you know, dust themselves off, and they'll get the community built back up the way it's supposed to be. And you know, we got a lot of help from people on the outside. You know, great job by Kevin Durant, you know, donating $1 million and
yes.
getting that stuff going, putting a little pressure on some of the other celebrities that live in Oklahoma or from Oklahoma to donate money. So they're doing a great job. Oklahoma will be back, and, you know, once the sooner, always the sooner.
Absolutely. Well, Stacey, it's so great to have you drop by, and I know we're still a week away, but I wanted to wish you a very happy Father's Day. You are a proud papa of three grown boys, and they are so handsome. You showed me their pictures of Dallas.
Thank you very much, Liz.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.